Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the last session we thought about against whom we were struggling against. We are not fighting against about flesh and blood, like things that perish, money, fame, and power, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what is most important is the spiritual battle. And the rulers of the darkness, what do they do to us? They make us not obey the word of God. They make us sin. They make us love the world. They tempt us, deceive us. So they work through the people around us, or they work through the circumstances and situations. And how is this world? There are so many things that are controlled by the enemy, devil, and Satan. So through those things, they disturb us from living by the word of God, because they present to us the worldly pleasures. So these pleasures, these things are controlled by the devil. So we have to realize this fact and stand against it. So our enemy devil is prowling around like a roaring lion to find someone to devour. So we have to put on the full armor of God to stand against the devil. In this, I'm talking about for a couple of weeks, I'll talk about each part of the full armor. Verse 14 says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." So I'll talk about having girded your loins with truth. This is the waist, is the source of power. So when it supports your whole body, you can use your power. So that is why God is telling us to guard ourselves, guard our loins with truth. If you have this belt, you have the stability when you try to exert power. Probably not many of you do some very laborious work, very hard laborious work, but you put on a belt just to hold your pants together. But when you actually, if you look at those people, for example, somebody like weightlifters, they put on a very big belt on their waist. That looks quite ridiculous in a sense, but they put on those belts because they have to exert a lot of power in an instant, in a very short moment, so that they can actually exert a lot of power. Nowadays, not just to exert power, but for protection's sake, they put on some waist belt. Because some people have back pain, it helps with the back pain, so they have these supports. So waist is basically the center for our, when it comes to our strength coming out. Also, when you try to, when you want to present yourself well, or when you want to do something better, when you put your mind on something, you try to tighten your belt. So it's like laying the firm foundation. And God is telling us to gird our loins with the truth. So what is truth? John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the truth is, truth comes from Jesus Christ. And to gird our loins with the truth means we have to stand firm on Jesus Christ. It is to stand firm on the rock which represents Jesus Christ. Suppose you build a house on a rock. It won't be shaken by any wind. You don't have to worry about it falling down. So when you build a house on a rock, it is strong. But if you build it on the sand, it will soon fall down by the wind. So standing firm on the rock of Jesus Christ is the basic, the fundamental of our Christian life. It gives us the strength to lead our Christian life. So what do we have to do specifically to gird ourselves, gird our loins with the truth? It is to stand on the Word of God. If we stand firm on the Word of God, we won't be able to be tempted by any tests or trials. We won't be shaken, but we'll be able to drive them away. If you have the belt of truth, then you'll be able to overcome any kind of test that you face right now. You will be able to get the answer from the Word of God. Sometimes you might face unexpected hardships, and yet you will understand why you're facing such a situation, and you will understand why the Father has allowed it and what will come up next. If you're just afraid and worried and get concerned, that is not everything to it. That shouldn't be everything. You can just understand this situation with the Word of God. It is a way, it is a step toward accomplishment of the power of recreation. Is it our own understanding? If it is our own understanding, it's useless. But it is the promise of God, because we can be assured that it's the promise of God, because we have the power of the shepherd that is happening even right now. Even today, especially in this past summer retreat. What kind of power did you see there? You can just check the evidence. You know, if we just say to ourselves, God guarantees us, God is working through us. I hope God is working through us. While God is not actually working for us, then that is not faith. That is not true. But even in hardships, God is still showing us the evidence that God has allowed this situation to give us blessings. God shows us these signs. Men of God, they received blessings only through hardships. When they passed the tests with faith. So we've seen this in the history of Manmin Church itself, and you've seen these cases in the Bible. But those who don't have the gird of the truth, they are maybe confused. Oh, I want to take it easy on the Christian life. Maybe in this kind of a time, maybe you want to take it easy, then you won't be able to receive the blessings later that God has prepared through these hardships. In the Bible is the heart and will of God. And going through these times, one of the things I'm thinking about is heaven. I feel and think about heaven even more than before when I face some mournful, sorrowful incidents. I think to myself that I will choose the way that is pleasing to God, so I will store up more rewards in heaven. I will be more pleasing in the sight of God, so that is why I can be happy. Even while the hardships. And looking at the title of the Friday online service, the banquet along with the flower roads. In the weekly bulletin, I saw the title of the Friday online service. Then I was so happy. So, it'll be introduction to the celebration events for church anniversary. And so, looking at that, just by looking at the title, I was so happy. I had a smile on my face. If you stand firm on the truth, it's, you will be happy. And you won't be sad all the time. Because you, so in every matter, in everything, you should gird your loins with the truth so that you won't be shaken. If the belt is so thin, then it'll be broken very easily. Because the enemy devil, they will constantly try to attack us. They try to disturb us, try to make us stumble through their schemes. And to overcome those things, to overcome the devil's schemes, that is for that reason we have to put on the full armor of God. And while we are being cultivated on this earth, there will be processes, steps, hardships. So in those moments, you should have the guard of the truth. And this one has to, this guard has to get thicker and thicker. So let us check ourselves. You know, usually you are full of the Spirit, but some, whenever tests come, you lose faith or you stumble. It means your guard of truth is so weak. So you stumble and you fall. So you can check your Christian life. Maybe you can, when you are at peace, you are happy, you are faithful to the kingdom of God, but probably it's because you didn't circumcise your heart enough that you fall in the tests. So you can realize yourself and correct whatever was not right in the sight of God. So you have all the answers in the Bible, in the Word of God. So you should stand firm and reflect yourself against the Word of God so that you won't have to fall or stumble at all. So when you stand firm on the truth, if tests come your way, you will find the answer from the truth. Our shepherd has explained in detail as to why tests come. So you can check yourself. So when and how do the tests come? First, it's because of the sins. So if you belong to this category, what do you have to do? You can just repent right away. You repent thoroughly before God. I am a sinner, Father. God, I sinned. I've sinned. Please forgive me. You can thoroughly repent and you can depart from sins, then the tests and trials will go away and you'll have peace. And also, sometimes even after you repent, tests still come. You committed sins before, but you repented thoroughly and you turned away from sins and still you are facing difficulties. Then if you stand firm on the Word of God, you will be reminded of the Word of God. Especially like the case of King David. He took Bathsheba and he had his righteous man get killed. And when Nathan pointed out his sin, being the king, he humbled himself so much and completely, and he didn't give any excuses. He just admitted his sin and repented of his sin. And Nathan said, This kind of sin, you have to pay with your life. But God accepted his repentance and God didn't give him death. But there will be tests and trials. Trials will follow. And if you really thoroughly repent, then you will take the trials with joy. So did David say, oh, I repented and God is love and please let these trials go away? No, he didn't say such things. When he heard that the trials will come, and when the trials actually came later, and also there were, so he took all those trials with joy. He knew it was the retribution for his sin. So he gladly accepted those trials. He didn't complain or he didn't try to get away or anything like that. He just repented, remembered his sin once again, and he wanted to be, he believed that God was making him blameless about regarding his sin. So he overpassed the trials with thanksgiving and joy, and later he was put in a very high position in the heavenly kingdom. The sin he committed, it's really a grave sin. And yet, after going through the repentance and trials, his sin was completely washed away. So when you hear this explanation, you can understand that even after you repent, God is allowing you these trials so that you can be blameless and completely clean. Then rather than complaining, you will only give thanks that God is making you whole and blameless and spotless, so that even the traces of sin will be completely washed away. So there are different kinds of trials. So even though the trials didn't come because of your sins, sometimes God allows trials so that you can realize your vessel, you can realize yourself and make yourself a bigger, greater vessel. Then you can realize yourself and fix yourself. And also there are trials allowed by God himself. These trials are allowed so that God can give you more power, more blessing, and so that later you can give more glory to God. This is not for ordinary layman members, but especially the chosen ones like Abraham, like the test of offering his only son Isaac as a burnt offering. God tested him himself. He tested him not because he didn't know whether Abraham was going to give his son or not. He knew Abraham was going to obey, but he had to show, even to the devil, that he was going to obey. He was obeying. And every faith is perfected with a deed. So after Abraham actually passed the test, God blessed him even more. Let's think about the case of Daniel. He was blameless. The people who are jealous of him tried to find fault in him, but they couldn't. And yet, God still allowed the schemes of the devil to take place. So Daniel knew about it. God knew about it. But God still allowed it. And when it was actually allowed, Daniel actually pleased God with the deed of his faith. And as a result, God was glorified even more greatly. And king said, God is really alive. And God, a king proclaimed to the whole people that God is really alive. So when you have little faith, when you don't stand firm on the truth, you don't understand the deep heart of God. But if your faith increases, you'll be able to understand the deep heart of God, the will of God, and you'll be able to overcome the darkness and receive greater blessings. So if you stand firm on the truth, when trials come, you will find the answer from the Word of God so that you will only overcome. And if you know the truth, understand the truth enough, well enough, then you will understand why trials come on your way. and win the victory. So because you have this, you are standing firm, you won't be shaken by the shaking of the enemy devil. So to apply the word of God in your life is to guard your loins with the truth. Sometimes, other people deliver to you some slandering words, and you wouldn't listen to them, you wouldn't argue with them, you wouldn't slander back with them. You will be reminded of the truth. Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 to 5 says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And as you hear this, as you realize this word of God, you won't be able, you won't slander back or gossip or judge others. So having this guard of truth, which means by standing on the truth of Jesus Christ, this will hold you together, hold you firm. So you won't be shaken at all, so the enemy devil will not even try to touch you or try to shake you. Maybe the enemy devil, they might try to harm you a couple of times. But then if you are not shaken at all, they will give up. They know that you won't be shaken. Maybe a long time later, they might try again. But with the same matter, they won't try to shake you or make you stumble. They will acknowledge that it is of no use to touch you because you have the firm ground of the truth. When somebody slanders you, your heart feelings are not hurt. When others are well off, you are not jealous. You have nothing to do with those feelings. Then, enemy devil will not try to make you stumble. Even though they are not really tests or trials, you make yourself stumble because of your own evil, like envy, jealousy, judging. Because these untruths in you, they are shaken by Satan, so you suffer. You need to check yourself whether you are stumbling all the time. So this is not to have the guard of the truth. So when Senior Pastor was explaining this, he was saying, look at the outward appearance of those who are drunk. You know, they don't have the ties neat. They don't have neat appearances. So there are some pickpocketers only for drunken people. It's the same with the devil. You have a lot of envy and jealousy, resentment, and for nothing you stumble. So when Satan touches you a little bit, you stumble. So let us check whether we have guarded our loins with the truth or not. So let us dwell, walk in the light, walk in the truth. If you don't obey the truth, you'll easily stumble by the schemes of the devil because they keep constantly attacking us. Like in the case of Eve. The serpent tempted Eve. So Satan was working through the serpent to put in the thought of Satan. At first, serpent just slightly touched Eve. Genesis 3:1 says, "And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' As if he didn't know anything. with being nice. The people in the Garden of Eden, they eat from which tree? Which tree they eat from? Didn't the animals know about which trees? Of course, they knew everything. And why would he ask such a question? He didn't even ask. Did God say, you shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of truth? And knowledge of good and evil? But no, he asked, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Of course. Eve answered right. You can eat from any tree, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then the answer next to it was wrong. When Satan is trying to deceive you, you can drive it away with the word of God. But Genesis chapter 3 verse 3 says, Eve said, you will die. So it's changed a little bit from the original words that God said. Senior pastor explained why. Because the time, such a long, long time has passed. The Bible doesn't write about how long it has been. So we might misunderstand that it was a short time, but they lived in the Garden of Eden for such a long time, for unimaginable duration of time. So because such a long time has passed, Eve kind of didn't keep the word of God very thoroughly. So she just said, you will die. So the serpent changed the word of God, saying, you will not die. And with the lies, the serpent was trying to make God look bad. So Eve was finally tempted because she was not standing firm on the truth of the word of God. On the contrary, how about after Jesus finished his 40-day fast, when devil was tempting him? He was tested by the devil after he finished the 40-day fast. It was allowed by God. So there were three tests. And Jesus only answered with the word of God. He responded only with the truth, and the devil left him, and angels ministered to him. He overcame completely. So even in your lives, you will have to answer and think only with the truth, only with the word of God. When you don't have the word of God completely in you, sometimes you can show your own righteousness, your own feelings. And you have to constantly check those things. You have to check your thoughts. Of course, you think your thoughts are correct. Of course, your thoughts are correct. You think your thoughts are correct. That is why they are your thoughts, because you believe they are correct. But actually, they are not correct. For your thoughts to be in line with the thoughts of God, you need to constantly check yourself. You have to check to what extent your thoughts are in accordance with the Word of God. Then when you just think your thoughts are correct, then you will lose eventually. So your thoughts, your words, are they pleasing the sight of God? You always have to check yourselves. What would the shepherd have done? What would the Lord have done in this situation? Then in this way, you will be able to have the thick gird of the truth. Then this way, you won't be shaken by the schemes of the devil. Even if you don't have the strong guard of the truth yet, as you keep on trying to think in truth, speak in truth, and act in truth, then And also if you keep on putting the full armor of God, then you'll be able to stand firm on the truth. You won't be shaken by any wind or strong wind. And you'll be able to become spiritual warriors that please God. For that to happen, you need to have the habit of meditating on the Word of God. Even if you listen to the messages in Friday online service and Sunday services, you won't be able to remember everything. Even if it seems you remembered everything, unless you cultivate it in your heart, you won't be able to put it into action. You just respond with your own thoughts and feelings in everyday life. But if you arm yourself with the Word of God again and again, if you think about it again, and you think about what will actually please God, then this is the way for you to stand firm on the truth. So you need to hear, read, and remember the Word of God, and this has to be, the Word of God has to be the standard in your life. Then the Holy Spirit will give you the life so that you will be able to make correct decisions. And as you keep on doing it, it means you are putting the guard of the truth. And next it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So when you look at the armor, especially in the medieval ages, if you look at the armor, then they have this breastplate. You can see this, he's wearing some kind of a skirt, but on the upper body, they have this strong armor. Because in the upper body, in the chest, you have the heart and other vital organs. Because it is directly related with your life. Even if your limbs are cut off, or if you have a big scar on your face, you won't die. But if your heart stops, you die. So that is why God created this ribcage to protect internal organs, especially the chest. So to this breastplate of righteousness keeps your heart. And so we have to put it on. So what is righteousness? It is to obey the Word of God. I said about the guard of truth. You have to understand the truth and you have to have the standard of truth. And to actually practice the Word of God is the righteousness. So how can he put on the breastplate of righteousness? Romans chapter 10 verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So when we believe the word in our heart, we can be justified, resulting in righteousness. So to believe in heart is to actually circumcise the heart and fill ourselves with the truth, and to actually practice the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Oh, I believe God. Oh, I believe the Word. Saying this is useless. If you really believe in heart, believing in heart means actually understanding it. And if you really believe in heart, you will cast away sins. So it means circumcising your heart. But if you know it is the truth, but you don't have the strength to put it into action, it means you don't have the breastplate of righteousness. Sometimes I advise them this is the truth, and they say, oh, I have weak faith, and I can't do that. I can't. They are advised that they have to love the ones they hate. Oh, I'm not even in spirit. I can't stop hating them. They become brave. So they are not putting the breastplate of righteousness. They are not putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
Putting something on more, you know, it's adding the weight, you know, the armor of the knights in the medieval times. It is heavy. The armor is heavy. But to protect their lives, they had to put it on. When your faith is weak, you might feel it is hard to keep the word of God. But actually, it is to protect your life. Practice righteousness. Then God is pleased. Your wishes will be answered. Your faith will increase. But suppose somebody hates you, and you don't want to love him. So what do you do? You give excuses. Oh, I'm not in spirit. I have weak faith. And you keep on hating him. And does that mean? So because it means you're not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. So the enemy devil gives you a hard time. And you don't understand why. Because you are not practicing the truth. So that shouldn't happen. Romans 2:13 says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but doers of the law will be justified." So this is the spiritual Christian life. Then you will receive the spiritual faith and your answers will be answered. And if you just put on the breastplate of righteousness, then your prayers will be answered quickly. So what is righteousness? You practice the truth. You practice the word of God. Then it is not just that you overcome any devil's attack, but you also receive blessings. You are told to live by the word of God to receive blessings. And yet you say, oh, I can't do it. Then probably you won't be able to receive blessings. But sometimes even if you pray, even if you practice the word of God and pray, sometimes it takes time for you to receive blessings because what you are asking for is something great. But anyway, you will receive the answers. So once you become righteous, you will receive answers to your prayers. The enemy devil won't be able to touch you. But if you pray and do not receive the answer, it means you are not practicing the word of God and spiritual faith is not given to you. Just as faith without deed is dead, without actually practicing the word of God, you won't be able to protect yourself from the devil. You won't be able to solve any problems. So putting on the breastplate of righteousness means you have to obey the word of God and cultivate righteousness in your heart. Then if you do that, you will not do the righteousness in your sight, but righteousness in the sight of God. The righteousness in your sight and in the sight of God, they are different. Let me give you just one example. So your righteousness is that you have to point out other people's unrighteousness, lawlessness, and peace is broken. If you do that, peace is broken. And you think you're right. Oh, that person is wrong, I'm right, so I did something right, and yet he couldn't accept it, so peace is broken, I didn't do anything wrong. But this is wrong. Your action is wrong. What is righteousness in the sight of God? You have to pray for that person. You must not break peace any time. So your righteousness and God's righteousness are different, so you shouldn't say you're right, but you have to understand in goodness. You have to act in goodness and love. And the breastplate of righteousness is in line with Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." You protect your heart with a breastplate of righteousness. So in your heart, in your chest is the heart. Heart supplies blood all over your body. When we call our heart is the spiritual part, the soul part of us that is called heart. So to protect heart, breastplate of righteousness. So protecting the breast, it also means we protect the soul, the spirit. So that is why Proverbs 4:23 is a match. So why does it say, from the heart flows the springs of life? In our heart, we have the heart of the truth and the heart of the untruth. When we accept the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, the Holy Spirit revives our dead spirit, the seed of life. And when this life begins, when this spirit is revived, it grows up. So until it is completely 100% true, there are both heart of truth and heart of untruth. And the heart of untruth is controlled by the devil, and the heart of truth is controlled by the Holy Spirit. And if you follow the heart of the truth, then you will be able to reach eternal life. But if you follow the heart of untruth, if you keep on giving out, keep on following the heart of untruth, you will eventually commit sins and not be able to turn away from sins, and eventually you'll end up in hell. Death, eternal death. So we have the choice. If you keep on choosing the heart of truth, it'll expand. The ratio, the portion of heart of truth will be expanded. And the heart of untruth will shrink, keep on shrinking more and more. So the enemy devil will not try to deceive you any longer if you completely cultivated your heart only with the heart of truth. And until that happens, until that time, Satan constantly keeps on trying to deceive you through the heart of untruth. And suppose you actually sin, then this heart of truth will be changed back to the heart of untruth. Then eventually you will lose life. You'll end up in eternal death. So from in your heart, depending on whether you choose the heart of truth or you choose the heart of untruth, life and death will be decided. So, watching over your heart, which is the source of springs of life, it means we have to keep the heart of truth. The heart of untruth doesn't belong here. If you have a lot of heart of untruth, it means heart of truth is very little. So you have to keep on increasing the portion of the heart of truth. And to keep watching over the heart means casting off heart of untruth and increasing the heart of truth, so that the power of darkness will not be able to work through the heart of untruth. So until you become completely righteous, even after you become completely righteous, as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you have to preserve it. Because the enemy devil is always trying to put an untruth in you through what we see and hear. So they try to make you sit down, lie down, and rest a little more. Then if you follow these voices, then you will lose life. But if you keep the heart of watch over and keep the heart of truth and not act according to the heart of untruth, then this is to watch over your heart, from which flow the springs of life. And this is same as putting on the breastplate of righteousness. If you don't circumcise your heart, then eventually it means you're not able to watch over your heart, from which flow the springs of life. So just as you protect your breast with the breastplate of righteousness, we have to always protect our heart with the breastplate of righteousness. gird your loins with the truth and check your thoughts all the time, whether your thoughts right now are voices of Satan or voices of the Holy Spirit. So you watch over your heart so that you'll be able to overcome this world. Hear and understand the Word of God, but not just that, circumcise your heart with the Word so that you'll be able to cast away sins even from your nature. This is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:15 says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Before I get into the verse, let me talk about Moses, when God was calling Moses. Exodus chapter 3, 5 says, then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So God was calling Moses as the leader of the Exodus. Moses was approaching where God was. So that is why the place was holy ground. So God was telling him to remove his sandals. In spiritual sense, the dirtiest part of the human body is the heart, but in physical sense, it's the feet and the shoes that we are wearing. So that is why God told Moses to remove his sandals, because it was dirty and stinky. It had foul smell. So this is to represent. Even when Jesus was on this earth, he gave a lot of parables in the physical world to explain about spiritual things. So telling him to remove the sandals means we have to cast away what is dirty and what has foul smell. It means we have to make ourselves holy. It means we have to circumcise our heart, which means we have to cast away sins so that we can walk in the light. So by circumcising our heart, we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly. God doesn't appear before us. So that is why we have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is how we can go before God and we can walk with God. In order to do that, we have to circumcise our heart. And telling him to remove his sandals from his feet, it means that we have to circumcise our heart. We have to cast away all untruths and dirty things and the things that have foul smell before we are able to go before God. And having our feet putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace, it means we have to cast away the boots of sins, the dirty sins in the world, so that we can put on the boots of the gospel of peace. Before we put on the gospel of peace, we have to cast away the boots of sins in the world. We have to put on the boots of the gospel of peace so that we can go to heaven. On our way, this is a preview for the next week. I have to explain in detail what these sins are, but I don't have the time this week. As a preview, we are going the narrow way to heaven. And on the way, the devil always puts the rocks on our way, thorns on our way. We have to pass them so that we can reach the gate of life. And just because we are afraid of the thorns or rocks, then we only have to go back to the wide road of the world. This is narrow way. And the devil is putting on something like pins, push pins, or thorns, and things like that. And to be able to walk on these things, we have to have strong boots. Without these boots, walk on the bare feet? No. After taking off the shoes of the world, boots of the world, if you go bare feet, then you'll suffer so much by the thorns and pushpins and rocks. And if you suffer so much, you'll end up giving up going the narrow way and going back to the wide way of the world. So that is why you have to put on the boots of gospel of peace. Did our shepherd, you have to go the way. And to be able to keep on going, you have to have these boots. And what is gospel? Gospel is the good news, so you have to hear the gospel. So gospel, you have to hear, but God says, it's the boots, not something on your head. You can go the narrow way only after you put them on. And also, you can just maybe say, boots of gospel, but it says boots of the gospel of peace. And so if you follow the gospel, you'll be at peace. But if you don't follow peace, if you don't have peace, why don't you check yourself throughout this week? Oh, when the shepherd was here, you're happy, you're at peace. Of course, we have sorrow, but that doesn't mean you have to lose peace. You have to be nervous. That doesn't mean you have to be anxious. It means you have taken off the gospel of the boots of gospel of peace. If you are still wearing these boots of the gospel of peace, you can still think. You can think about this situation in faith, with the eyes of faith. Whatever is happening, then you have peace in your heart, and you will have joy, and you can understand the will of God. Then, if you have the boots of the gospel of peace, you can have peace. So let's put them on. And we'll be able to walk on the thorny bushes or rocky places. We can just keep on going without being afraid. And as we keep on going, we will eventually, overwhelmingly, overcome the schemes of the devil. So in the next session, next week, I will talk about in more detail about having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and throughout this week, let us check ourselves whether we are at peace or not. Maybe during the weekdays in your workplace or in your family, and you hear and see and a lot of things, and maybe you're so busy making a living, oh, you're not at peace. That is not truly having put on the boots of the gospel of peace. You have to be at peace all the time, not just on Sundays, but also throughout the weekdays. You have to put them on and go out to the world so that you can overcome the world. Those who are properly wearing, those who have the proper preparation of the gospel of peace, then they can be at peace all the time. So let us check ourselves once again whether we are at peace. And whatever is bothering your peace, when there is something, I hope you will be able to overcome with the truth, with the Word of God. Let me conclude the message. I talked about the gird of the truth and breastplate of righteousness and the boots of the gospel of peace. and to stand firm under Jesus, on Jesus Christ, the truth. You have to meditate on the Word of God and put the Word of God into action and cultivate righteousness in your heart. This is to put on the breastplate of righteousness and to have the boots of the gospel of peace. You have to take off the boots of the sins of the world first. So in doing so, whatever the temptation may be, you don't have to be afraid. But even after leading a Christian life for a long time, if you don't stand on the truth properly, if you don't circumcise your heart and not cultivated righteousness in your heart, you won't be able to overcome the devil, the power of darkness. The power of darkness, if you give them just a little bit of a chance, they will try to devour you. They know exactly your weakest point, whether you have resentment, envy, or jealousy, or if you compare yourself with others, whether you have temper, whether you have arrogance. They know it so very well, so they keep on attacking you through those things. But if you stand firm on the truth, if you on the Word of God, if you realize yourself all the time, oh, this is resentment, this is jealousy, this is comparison. Suppose somebody else is ahead of you. You lose peace. But if you have the boots of the gospel of peace, you armed yourself with the Word of God, and somebody is commended, somebody is praised, and you feel a bit uneasy, then you realize that this is jealousy and you pray fervently to cast it away, then you'll be happy even if others are praised. So this is to put on the boots of the gospel of peace. But if you know the Word but not cultivated it, in your heart, then if you keep on, then devil will keep on trying to make you sin all the time. So let us not lose to this devil prowling around like a roaring lion, but let us overcome. So put on the full armor of God again and again. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, "The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways." And I hope this will be realized in all of your lives.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.